It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, you can join my party, baby. TextingTexans.com. I'm also giving away, you know, some of them Hall of Fame t-shirts, Andre Johnson Hall of Fame t-shirts I bought. Ron, you thought I was crazy when I was doing it. I'm giving it back to the people. I'm giving it back to the people, right? My TextingTexans.com, which is allowing me to be the eyes and ears of all the fans out there that subscribe. Basically, I'll text you whatever's pertinent information about the Texans, what's going on, whether it's camp, press conferences, games, pregame, postgame. I'll just shoot you a text. You don't have to be on Twitter. You don't have to be on Instagram. You don't have to be on Facebook. You don't have to be on TikTok. You just, all that smoke's out of the way, and I'll hit you right on your hip via text. That's TextingTexans.com, and I'm giving away a couple of free Andre Johnson Hall of Fame t-shirts. Random draw. Everybody's not getting one. It's a random draw. I'll be doing that tonight at 6 o'clock. So go to TextingTexans.com. All you got to do is subscribe. It's free, by the way. It's free. All you got to do is subscribe. Boom, you're in the drawing. We'll talk Texans. We'll do all that good stuff. You know, I'll tell you about them. I got some Labor Day plans that might include the Texas Hill Country. Something you might want to get into there as well. But I'd greatly appreciate that. And all you got to do is subscribe, and you'll have a chance to win one of those t-shirts, one of them Hall of Fame Andre Johnson t-shirts. TextingTexans.com. Ron, there's we've talked a lot about the fifth and sixth receiver for this football team. And it, to me, it's a very fascinating conversation. Look, I know there's a lot of fans out there that are more interested in the regular season and more interested in exactly game day. But for those that are dialed into preseason, the fifth and sixth wide receiver for this football team is fascinating for one reason. That's because, I'll be honest with you, I don't know who the hell's going to make this team. I don't know how this thing's going to work out. I think there's a really good argument for four different guys that are buried on the depth chart right now to land in that fifth or sixth spot, right? You've got John Metchie, who is cheap, yeah. Has played well last week, has a higher ceiling than most, has a longer future in the NFL if things pan out than most, who, by the way, is a really, 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 really close friend with C.J. Stroud on the team, and that probably carries a little weight as well.
Doesn't hurt.
Right. You've got Xavier Hutchinson, who just won't go away. The Hall of Fame game, five catches, appears to have great chemistry with whatever quarterback you throw out there. Had a great day yesterday in the joint practice. You look up and he's making big-time catches. Now, I think the one that I saw was right in front of me. It would have been a touchdown, but the ref called him out of bounds. But it was a big-time catch. And he also plays all the special teams. And I don't think he just plays the special teams. I think he actually, they're not forcing him on special teams to get more out of him. He's actually a very secure returner for them. If he is in a blocking situation on kickoff return, that he's got a bigger body. So I would imagine he's better at that than some of the other guys, the John Metchies of the world. But Xavier Hutchinson's got a great story. You look down, I think Ben Skoranek, with his resume or his history in this system, his resume and history of being able to do multiple things, including special teams, but multiple things on an offense, the bigger, longer body brings something to the table that really only Nico has on this particular team. And so you get down to that fourth guy, and that fourth guy is Robert Woods. And Robert Woods is... As long as he's being viewed as a third, fourth, or fifth receiver on a team, I'm good with Robert Woods being on the team. I didn't like the thought last year coming into the season of Robert Woods as the big sign. Before we knew who Nico was, before we knew who Tank was, Robert Woods is the guy you're going to hang your hat on, right? But Robert Woods, long resume, man. I mean, this is a guy that's been in the league for a while. This is a guy that's had a ton of success. He's won a Super Bowl. This is a guy that's been in this system with the Rams before, knows it like the back of his hand. To a certain degree, he is a mentor type of player for some of these youngsters. So there's your four guys that could potentially fill that fifth and sixth wide receiver spot. And I've been trying to figure it out. I've heard a million different conversations about it, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know that any of us know what the hell we're talking about. When it comes down to who do you think is going to make the team, I don't know that any of us, it is a shot in the dark.
I would not be surprised by any of the outcomes.
Right. I mean, it is literally a shot in the dark, right?
Like if Mechie didn't make it, probably right now just because of his relationships where
sure.
he was drafted.
Sure,
would
be a surprise,
and,
yeah.
And he would, it wouldn't be a shock, though. His production hasn't been there. Or if they made a move, that would probably be the most surprising. But Hutchinson, Woods, Sims, even all of them that are there, I could see it, understand the case for every single one of the guys that could be the ones that aren't on this team.
Yeah, it's a tight race. And I want to focus on Robert Woods for a minute because there's a report out there. Texans Wire it's thought that Texans wide receiver Robert Woods is listed as the top trade candidate entering the final week of training camp. Now, I would believe that that's the top trade candidate for the Houston Texans, right? They're not willing to part ways with anybody else. You look at the guys that are on the bubble, and there are some guys that I think would bring back some value, but I think Robert Woods, assuming that he were a guy that they wanted to move on from and wanted to trade, Ron, the Texans would not only save $5 million in that trade in terms of salary cap, but I think you'd be doing Robert Woods a solid. Because, look, I told you, we first started this segment, I don't like Robert Woods as my one or two. But I do believe that Robert Woods can still go out there and be a complimentary receiver and make plays. In fact, here's D'Amico Ryans. This is D'Amico Ryans on what he's seen from Xavier Hutchinson and Robert Woods. I'm talking about both of them. But here's D'Amico Ryans on Robert Woods throughout camp this year.
Hutchinson and Rob Woods, they've been making plays all camp. And it's the same today, guys. They've been consistent and made plays all throughout camp. There's two guys you can count on, Hutch and Woods. They've been making plays, so no surprises that they made plays today for us.
Two guys that you can count on, Ron. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't think about this really until the conversation took us there yesterday, but I Robert Woods being traded is probably the best option for the Texans. I don't think that he is a guy that's going to be in the top five. And so if you could move him to a team
cheaper
that and save that money, it would be huge. This is coming on the heels of, this is another one that made me think of this. Jahad Dotson was traded from the Washington Commanders to the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's clear he's the third option in Philadelphia. Philadelphia made a move for a third receiver, right? Just to add another weapon. He's a 5'11", buck 95, 200 at best wide receiver. That's averaged 500-ish yards for the 2 years I think he's been in the league. Now, the Eagles got Jahad Dotson and a 2025 fifth, and the Commanders pulled back a third and 2 7-round picks in 2025. I don't think there's any way that Robert Woods could fetch, obviously, that kind of deal. But I do believe the Texans, you find the right team that needs a veteran wide receiver that needs a number three, that's a contending team that wants a guy they can depend on. Look at San Francisco right now. Heck, you can even look at L.A. right now in terms of they get past their big two. He would be three, even though I think they like their threes. There's a lot of coaches that are running this system that Robert Woods would probably be a pretty valuable pick for them, or a pretty valuable player for them in their system.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a team that money's fine, but they could probably potentially want to add somebody later on in the year. It'd be nice to have that extra money to be able to do that with. And like, to me, it just kind of comes down to it. Like, I mean, I think Robert has been better than Mechie I think overall, the entire offseason, I think he's shown to be better than Mechie. But he costs a lot. And we're talking about the back half of your receiver group. And for me, I think there's an argument that Xavier Hutchinson has been better than both of them.
Agreed.
And if you have him there, who is a fifth or sixth round pick last year, and he's not making very much money either. Like that would make more sense with that just because of the scenario and the situation in terms of his money compared to those other guys.
Yeah.
There'd be a difference if he was giving you even Noah Brown type of level of play. And obviously we haven't seen Noah a lot during training camp, but I think they're basing what they saw during the season last year.
Yeah.
If he was giving you that, then that's a different thing. But to me, if you had to play Xavier Hutchinson and you had to play Robert Woods right now, I don't think there's that big of a difference.
I don't know. I don't think there is on the field either. But the thought is that again, you're bringing a guy like the value of a Robert Woods is he doesn't need work. He knows my system. I can absolutely rely on him. Chemistry is not going to be a problem. Knowing defenses and knowing the offense is not going to be a problem. All I got to do is plug and play this guy, and it's a 1 year roll of the dice. It's an insurance policy, if you will. I do think that there's value there. Whether it's Green Bay, Minnesota, L.A., Cincinnati, Miami, all these teams that run this same system. Boy, if they're in a spot where their number three wide receiver is a rookie that can't figure things out, or they just not as smart and can't play all three positions, if you will, there is some value there with Robert Woods. I only say all that to say there's a chance that Nick Caserio could move Robert Woods and get a little something back in return. Is it a sixth round pick? Is it a late round pick? Probably. I mean, it's not going to be anything like Jahad Dotson brought in, but you might be able to get a little draft capital from Robert Woods. It wouldn't shock me at all if that happened. Ron, we talked a little bit about the little college football a little earlier, and we ran out of time before I was able to bring this up. But I think I'm ready to put my name on. I'm officially picking them Texas A&M Aggies as my Cinderella national championship run.
I don't know if it's a good thing that you've done this when Tyler's not here or mean.
I didn't even think about Tyler not being here, to be honest with you. I had a conversation this morning that just kind of spurred me to it.
This would have really jumped his day if he knew you were coming here to say, I don't know.
I actually did a little bit more digging because I had a conversation this morning on a radio station somewhere else. And the A&M pick just is I already liked it. Now I think I love it.
Love it.
I think I love it. The Notre Dame game is one of the bigger games on their schedule, obviously, number 7 in the country preseason. But it's really irrelevant because it's so early in the season. Whatever happens, you win that game and everybody gets high, you could screw it up a couple of weeks later because there's a lot of football left to be played. You lose that game. Hell, you could probably even lose that game convincingly. And the fact that you're in the SEC and the respect that they get, you could go on and rattle off 7-8 wins and be right back in the catbird seat in terms of getting back in the playoffs. So the Notre Dame game is early enough to where, if we're being honest, it ultimately is irrelevant. We talked about the schedule, no Bama, no Georgia. Don't know how that happened, but no Bama, no Georgia. And this is where I did a little more digging, Ron. Texas A&M's road games this year, they got 4 road games, Ron. Guess who they go to? Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Auburn. That's their 4 road games this year. Without a doubt, their 4 most difficult games on this schedule, which one of them is Notre Dame, and I told you it really doesn't matter because it's so early in the season. LSU, Missouri, and Texas. You get them all at home. They got their quarterback. I love their quarterback. You look at what Elko did immediately in the ACC at Duke. Even though he doesn't have all of Jimbo's guys, and it's his first year, he's not playing anywhere remotely close to as steep uphill as he was at Duke in the ACC as he is at A&M in the SEC. I'm telling you, man. This has got the more I dig, Ron. If you're picking a Cinderella,
I want to know what you mean by Cinderella. Like, what is like? What are you? You're picking them to do what?
Well, I mean,
like get to the college football playoff or win eight.
Well,
games?
A Cinderella needs to win it all. But I think to be more realistic for me is like this would be my Cinderella pick to get into the college football playoff.
This is listen. I understand how your mind gets here. Hey, no Bama, no Georgia. Those are the top teams. Well, they have been here in the SEC the last 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, hey, you know, that's a top 7 matchup, but it's not a Big Ten or an SEC team. You know, this is a team that's been vulnerable to lose to other teams. They lost at home to Ohio State last year. I get where your thoughts are, and I get this deal here, but man, they still got Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, and Texas. Those are all top 11, 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing for me is, like, I just don't have the confidence enough to know exactly what A&M is yet. Like, there's so much newness. I know the quarterback, and we saw him last year, but I don't know how he's going to look in this system.
Yeah.
And this is Elko. I saw what he did at Duke, but now he's taking over at A&M with a schedule. I mean, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, 4 to 5 ranked teams. That's before the thing gets started, mm-hmm. right? And you know, Texas. You know, this year, I just don't know enough about A&M.
Well, Ron, if you knew everything, they wouldn't be a Cinderella, Chief.
No, they could be. Like, I know a little bit more about Miami. I can see Miami being a Cinderella team.
I think Utah is another one that some folks
Utah,
are picking
Utah,
in the Big 12.
Kansas, I know.
Who?
Kansas, I know.
Let me listen to this guy. If he ain't bringing LeBron into it, he's bringing the Jayhawks into it.
Go look at that schedule and look at the. But I'm just saying, you know more about, like, teams like that. Their coaches who have been there. We know their players. They have been there. Hell, a lot of the team, we talk about Kansas, a lot of the team played in that Liberty Bowl against Arkansas a couple years ago. A lot of those guys are coming back. So, it's just a lot of unknown for A&M and a brand new thing they got to switch around. That's, if their schedule was a little lighter, like, I could get there. I still don't know how they got this 20th ranked. I
don't either, but I should need to put that on my list. Clearly, the minds, the college football minds, think more highly of them than I do, because I would not have them in the top 20.
To Arizona, yes, that quarterback they got there that's coming back, and they got a really good receiver too. It's just some unknown, brand new coach, brand new system, some guys in, some guys out. All right, Dana Brown, he got to talking. I'm gonna tell you right now, if you haven't heard, he got to talking real confidently about the return of Kyle Tucker. I'm going to let you hear exactly what he had to say to see if you feel better about this. Are you feeling encouraged after you hear what Dana Brown has to say? That's coming up.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, a big one tonight for the Astros as they get ready to take on the Orioles for the second game of this 4-game series in Baltimore. And Kyle Tucker yesterday, wondering about him, said he's not going to make the trip. Is what
hop,
little
bunny, hop, hop, hop.
Hopefully
hop,
he's doing some bunny, hopping. Hop, Kyle hop. Tucker wasn't supposed to make the trip, didn't make the trip to Baltimore. That's what Joe Espada said. Nothing new to report on him. But then, of course, as the Astros do, Dana Brown had something to say somewhere else. And Dana Brown had something to say when it comes to Kyle Tucker. And you guessed it. It's something a little different than, Joe Espada said nothing to report. Nothing new. Everything's the same. He was on MLB Network. This is what the general manager, Dana Brown, had to say in his update of Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see Tuck back, sometime early September. He's starting to do more baseball activity on the field. He's actually taking BP and hitting him in the upper deck. It's more the baseball moves with its lower half when he has to sprint or do anything at a quick pace. And so he still feels some soreness there. But ultimately, he's making big strides. And, it's been amazing that we played so well without him. But hopefully we'll get him back, sometimes early September, hopefully the first week.
All right. Hey, early September, first week. I just at 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you're hearing that. You're hearing that from Dana Brown. It has been since June 3rd since he has last played. It is now August 23rd. He said early September. The hell he said first week of September is what he did. That's it. You feel confident now. You feel confident return. You feel confident about the return of Kyle Tucker now that Dana Brown has stamped it.
Well, no, nobody feels confident in it. Nobody. I mean, look, you're talking out of both sides of their mouth, literally. You got Dana Brown saying one thing and Joe Espada saying another. Really, I mean, hell, three sides of their mouth with Bregman saying something about him. So they're talking all over the place about Tucker and Bregman and all kind of different voices all over the TV and radio. So I don't feel any better about Kyle Tucker or Bregman. I don't feel any better about Kyle Tucker until I hear what Adam Spolane have to say. He's down there damn near every day when they're in town and he lays eyes on it. But I'm more in tune to what fellas like that cover the team are saying and what the Astros actually say, Ron. I do like what he's saying, though.
Of course.
I mean, how many days are in August? 31?
I don't know.
We're a week away from – hell, we're a week away from the first week of September.
I'm trying to say, who is that they play that first week? Yeah, there is. September 1st. Oh, Sunday they play the Royals September 1st, then the day after that they are in Cincinnati. Make that road trip.
Yeah, September 1st week in September is right in the corner, boys. We get Verlander back this week and he pitches well. Again, knock on wood, we hadn't heard of anything swelling. Nice little down week next week. Tucker. No Texans. Then that next week, come back, them Texans got a game opening the season, and Tucker will be back with them Astros.
Yeah, man. Listen,
you want to poo-poo it?
No, I'm not going to poo-poo it. I just think there's no reason to put a time stamp on it. I probably think I would have gone with the – now, I think it helps us as doing this show today as news – but I think I probably would have stayed with the route that Joe Espada went. Hey, guys, nothing new to report here. Because you don't have to. You don't have to do that. Because clearly this team has run into setbacks, or whatever they want to call them. Luis Garcia, Lance. I don't even know if there's been a setback here with Kyle Tucker. I know they have repeatedly said it is not moving at the direction that they want it to move or that they were hoping it would move. So, yeah, we see that. I just don't know why they time-stamped it. To me, I almost be better if they just surprised us. One day we came in here and we're sitting here and, bam, there's Kyle Tucker in the lineup. There it is.
Well, I think it's going to be a surprise any way you slice it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because I won't believe it until I see it. But I will say this, though. The stuff we have seen of late looks a lot better than what we saw when he was in Tampa. When he's in Tampa, that didn't look close. Now, we'll see. Maybe we'll see if he has to go run down fly balls, if we're able to get any kind of footage of that. But this was better to see him hopping on one leg and hopping to the other one, doing lateral movement. I don't know why I'm doing it in this chair while I'm doing it, but...
You're giving a visual for the people of YouTube and Twitch.
To me, that's what I look at. That's what I'm looking at to see how close he is. But I'm not listening. Except I just don't know why you put that, because now people are going to be looking September, first week of September.
I know I am. There ain't no doubt. Look, there's no question. When we come in here September 1 through September 8, it's going to be the first hour of the show. Where you at, Dana? Where you at, King Tuck?
As I said earlier, just beat the Texans. Beat the Texans before they start their regular season. Is he going to be there before the Texans start their regular season? That's he better beat Christian Harris to the field.
I don't know about that one. I don't know if he's going to beat the Texans.
You know, the eighth,
is that week one is
game,
the eighth?
First game of the season is the eighth.
Okay.
It's a Sunday. We're going to have a full.
Well, I hope he doesn't, because then that gives us, we can come back. We can come back on the ninth and you can lead the show with Dana Brown's.
You hope now? Oh, come on, man. You don't hope Kyle Tucker. I want to see Kyle Tucker play.
I do too. I mean, but the Astros are hot, man. I mean, we don't necessarily. I'd rather see you. I'd rather see you really frustrated with Dana Brown's first week of September.
Where is Kyle Tucker at on home run leaders on the team?
Third?
You think he said I hope?
I mean, yeah. All you got is
he's at 19. He had 19 absolutely. When he got hurt.
You got Bregman and Big Fella Alvarez are ahead of him.
Bregman has more than 19.
I think so. Has he? Has he got to 20 yet?
Let me check and see. Yo, Bregman just passed him. You're right. Alvarez has 25. Bregman has 20. Altuve has 16. Kyle Tucker has 19.
He was on a tear, man. God, he would be in the 40 area.
You would think. Potentially he would be. All right. Coming up. Listen, I feel like this is going to be unpopular. And I'm not just trying to play devil's advocate. I truly, truly believe this. I think there are only 5 starters that need to play in the game tomorrow. We'll discuss that coming up. All right, welcome back in as we continue rolling live here. Tomorrow, the last preseason game. I'm telling you what, I heard what CJ said yesterday. It's a long, 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 long camp. That has come to an end, and listen, I know many of you are, you kind of want to take in a lot of this. What could be a very, very memorable year, some fashion or another, very memorable year. But I'm sure enough ready to get to the regular season. I'm about ready to get to September 8th.
Them shows are going to be easy, Chief. We get 4 quarters of starters playing football. Oh, man. With a team that's expected to win and at the very least going to put a good product out there every year. Hell.
But like to watch this, like, I mean, I know there are some guys, which I feel bad when I say this. I know there are some guys that tomorrow is everything. Tomorrow, hell, some of these guys want to be able to sleep well. Guys that are having a chance to maybe make a spot, make a team, or at least impress for somebody to get themselves on another team. This is a huge day tomorrow, but man, like, you go out there and you get it, and we get out there. I wouldn't be surprised, Clint, if we didn't see Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud. I wouldn't be surprised if we did, like, that Hall of Fame game. Like, we saw Davis Mills. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing just goes right to Case Keenum and Tim Boyle, and we just start to see, you know, guys that aren't going to be on this team.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, I'm talking about from the jump, from the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that would probably be an aggressive move for D'Amico. I think you still got some decisions to make. Again, the 4, 5, 6 or 5, 6 possibly 7 receiver on this football team, the running back with Damian Pierce. You've got some work to do, at least in the first half of this football game, that is going to impact, or at least the decisions that are made afterwards are going to impact this team potentially in a big way down the stretch if injuries become a problem. So, I would be surprised if Davis Mills doesn't get a good chunk of run here.
Really, I could see him just.
Well, anything could happen. I mean, I think this is a really good football team that that look, DeMeco feels really confident about, and he should. They have performed really, really well when they've had their opportunities, with the exception, I think, of the joint practice offensive line yesterday. So he should be very confident and shouldn't need to see a whole hell of a lot. But I do think that there's some decisions to be made. And let's be honest, you're fixing to hit a stretch of football where the backup quarterback in Davis Mills is going to get very limited reps at practice moving forward, and hopefully he doesn't have to play at all season. So I this is an opportunity to get him some last chance real reps, real live game action, which I think could prove to be valuable down the stretch.
I'm glad you brought up the offensive line, because as we talk about tomorrow, I know this isn't going to happen. I would be surprised if any of them played. Tunzel, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, or Titus Howard. I think you said it the other day. I think we've probably reached a place where, unlike the Hall of Fame game, I don't think Scruggs or Green will probably play in this game. They were the only two that started in that game.
Right.
I don't think they will. But Clint, I would come in here on Monday, and I would celebrate DeMeco Ryans like I've never celebrated him before if he played those five players.
The offensive line, starting offensive line, starting five.
I think they need a couple of series, because what they have put forth, and we can talk about the running backs, and yes, just like you talked about with Damian Pierce, he may get a half. He may get into the third quarter.
Yeah.
He may get a couple of quarters because he needs some work, and I agree with it. John Metchie, he needs some work. He be in there right off the bat. There are some guys that need some work. This offensive line, what they have put forth in the run game especially, leading up until week one, which is September 8th, and this is the last opportunity where it's not just practice and it's going up against teams going to the ground, hitting, all that you don't know exactly what they're going to do. They have struggled with executing. It's not just the physicality. Hell, they can't even get to the physicality because they haven't executed enough. I think to me, this group has not done enough where it's just like, oh, man, we're good. Like somebody I saw text in earlier, guys, no starter should play. The running game is good. All right. That they haven't been good at all. And their last opportunity, the last time we saw them on the field in a preseason game, like the run game just struggled throughout. Then the next time we got to see them, yesterday in a joint practice with the Rams, it was rough again. And that was the first time they were all together. To me, I would applaud him if he brought them out there and said, you know what? We got to get this right. We got to get execution, because it seems like every run play, somebody has a missed assignment. And I mean, this group, from what we've seen, is not ready for the Colts in the run game department, and I like to just say, hey, man, we'll get there. I think you got to take every opportunity you have, and I think this is an opportunity.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's going to happen, and I wouldn't personally, I would not personally make the move, but I will say this. I would applaud DeMeco Ryans and Bobby Sloak if they decided to. I am ready to applaud anything with the Texans that gives me the vibe that they don't feel like they're all right. Like all last year with the run game, we're close. You know, this year, Laremy Tunsil is not practicing until this week. And, you know, Titus Howard was injured again. And really, with the exception of those middle three guys, there hadn't been a whole lot of emphasis on getting these five guys, you know, in line and in lockstep with each other. Now on Titus's front, you can't help it because it was an injury, but you get my point. It's like it at some point in time, there has to be, from the top down, there has to be a, guys, this is unacceptable. Because you look at it, the close, and I'm just talking about with the ones, I'm not even getting into anything else. The last football game, you're backed up, and I believe you've got, I think it was a power call, I could be wrong. But
this is off the Stingley pick, right?
Yes, yes. Damian Pierce is 7 yards deep in the backfield. There's a fullback in the game. And the fullback not missed, completely whiffed on Brian Burns. And they were lucky to get that it wasn't a safety, being honest. That's Brian Burns, one of the best defensive pass rushers in the game. You're lucky, right? And then, you know, you've got an outside zone, toss zone, and your receiver goes and blocks a safety 15, 16 yards deep instead of the corner that's mugged him on the line of scrimmage, which puts the guard in a position where he gets out there. There's a linebacker and a corner, which puts you in a position where now you've got a linebacker running free on your running back, right? You've got a running back that it appears that you've got a really good play called up the gut, some kind of G scheme because the guard pulled. I really couldn't tell what it was across the board with the offensive line, but the running back runs up the ass of the right guard instead of either bounce it or stay inside. I would have stayed inside. I would coach him to stay inside because it was there. But when it's Damian Pierce one time, when it's Hairston one time, when it's Beck one time, when it's, I know Brocker was playing out of position 2 games ago, but he goes and scrapes to the second level against Pittsburgh, and that damn rookie linebacker cuts under him, and he don't even touch his jersey. When it's a different guy every single time, you're not close. You're not close. It's because it's a different guy every single time, play side. And it's just, I think that would be a strong statement back to your original point of you think all five of them, you'd like to see all five of the starting offensive linemen play this week. I think that's a bit aggressive, but I would love any level of statement of like, nah, man, we are pushing a sense of urgency to get this run game right.
Text line rolls through. Sorry, Ron, you don't risk them getting hurt. Bad take. Listen, I don't want to. I don't want to risk it. But this is a team that is trying to get to a Super Bowl. And they have a giant, giant issue right now. And they got to get it right. And if they lose week one on the road in Indy against the Colts, that is an enormous, that changes the entire division right off the bat if they lose that game. When you look at the rest of their schedule and you look at the rest of the Colts schedule. And it has been so bad, it's neat. Like, they've got to do something. They've got like and maybe you believe and maybe they believe they'll be able to over the next week and a half be able to put it together in practice. But I know I heard D'Amico talking about we need opportunities and we got to block it better. And I know what you and we played this about Andre Ware. Talk about, hey man, this thing ain't just gonna happen if these guys ain't on the field playing with each other. Not gonna happen if these guys aren't out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, we watched in that joint practice, Dunzel struggle with Kenyon Green struggle. Hell, that's the first time those two have played next to each other in some sort of a game type of setting.
Yeah.
I don't want Laramie to get hurt. I understand the risk. It's not a bad take. Their O-line play is so poor that if they went out there and said that, hey man, okay, I understand it. It's that, like, they ain't got to drop back to throw a pass. Like, We need to get out here and see in game level that you know that you can block who you're supposed to block and you're supposed to get to who you're supposed to get to, because it's not just, hey man, these guys don't move people. It's not like when what was my man's name that what you say, I've never seen an offensive lineman turn completely sideways to the offense.
Who was that?
Sirens. I used to call him Sirens. My God, he went over to the Bengals and got himself to an AFC Championship game.
Oh,
just getting quarterbacks drilled. But that stuff was, man, that guy's just getting his ass kicked. Or that guy just doesn't know any. This is a, hey man, we completely missed that guy.
Max Sharpie.
Yeah, Max Sharpie. Max Sharpie just getting his ass kicked. That's not a, this is a assignment thing that happens all the time. And Clint, it happened last year. we would sit up here last year.
Yeah.
It'd be like, who was he passing this tackle off to?
I'm not in panic mode with it. I'm in sense of urgency, and I'd like for my squad to have a sense of urgency and voice that sense of urgency. you know, because you're right. The best way to explain it is it's more of what we watched last year. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just more of what we watched last year. You're gonna have a hard time making a run to the Super Bowl. As good as this receiving core is, and as good as CJ Stroud is, you're gonna have a hard time making a run to the Super Bowl with what we watched last year in a run game.
Yeah, text line coming in. If they lose to Anthony Richardson week one, yet your season's over. He's easily the worst quarterback in the league. Please not. And I didn't say your season was over. I said it takes a change. The division takes a major change with the Texans schedule and the Colts schedule if you lose week one and you drop a division game. And you're rolling in there and you're running the football the way you are right now. I would think that's something that is a major priority to fix. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you ready for this Astros game. The latest news on Alex Bregman. He's in the lineup today. Guess where? We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.